Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Hinchcliffe.
It would be a little weird.
Yeah. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. It's just at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. No matter what role you play in your business, you know that printing plays a large role in everything that you guys do. Every business spends money on printing. Are they spending it wisely? That's the question. That's what you need to ask yourself. I would suggest a quick trip to the website, pipridgeland.com, to get a look at everything that Pip Printing and Signs can do for your business. They can change the image of your business overnight in terms of what they can provide for you from a marketing and signage standpoint. And, of course, we've talked about it a bunch of times. If you're a Mississippi State fan, you really can't lose on that deal because Pip Printing and Signs will make you a Bulldog Initiative business just by spending the money you already spend on printing each and every month. Call Cam Baker today and get in touch with him, and he will get you on the right path very, very quickly. 601-499-5216 is the number. Again, that is Cam's personal number. That's not the office number or secretary or anything like that. You can talk directly to the owner of the company. That's how committed to service he is. 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And you are looking for it. If it's state script, if it's interlocking, if it's a 1980s practice jersey. No, wait, you're not looking for that. No, you're not looking for that. We'll talk about that later. Whatever you're looking for, they've got it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowa by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. We love Restaurant Tyler here on this show. Coach Lebby loves Restaurant Tyler. He'll tell you all about it. Just a great place to go. One of the best restaurants in the SEC. Just fantastic for lunch. My favorite lunch, one of my favorite lunches in town. If I want a blue plate for lunch, I am going to Restaurant Tyler 10 times out of 10, I'm getting catfish, I'm getting cheese grits, I'm getting mac and cheese. I'm even going to eat the cornbread. That's how good it is at Restaurant Tyler. So when you want a lunch, if you're thinking, I want to get the blue plate today, the best place in town to get it is at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. You live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location. Get in touch with them. Check out their website, PriorityOneBank.com. And see everything they can do to help you manage your money, help you invest, help you build for your future. You're going to get the great service you expect from a small hometown bank, but you're going to get all the financial flexibility that those big corporate banks give you as well. Everything under one stop with the kind of service we're looking for. It's a no-brainer to switch your business to Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. I mean, Matt Corral on campus. Robbie, what the hell's going on here?
Hey, Brian, I'm just kind of skimming through some of these jerseys here, trying to figure out which one I want.
Yeah.
Should I get the Derek Milton jersey or the George Georgopoulos jersey? Which one?
I love George. Which one
would you get out of those two?
I'm just.
Would you like a Xavion Thomas jersey, or maybe we can get one of Ra-Ra Thomas?
I was about to say, I'm thankful there doesn't appear to be a Ra-Ra Thomas one. That would be a bad look at this point in the game for Mississippi State, I think. we'll talk more about that later. We're going to start today's show with an interview, though. I had the chance to talk with Coach Dan Mullen earlier this week. I wanted to talk to him because Robbie Faulk asked a question of Chad Bumpus when we went to visit the assistant coaches about the similarities in year one of Dan Mullen and the similarities of year one of Jeff Lebby. Obviously, Bumpus would have the only, maybe the only person alive or here in Starkville that has experience with both. And Bumpus was very adamant that he felt similar vibes, similar situation, similar buy-in to everything. So what does Dan Mullen think about that? What does he think about year one for Jeff Lebby? And what advice would he want to give Jeff Lebby about his time at Mississippi State? Let's go to that interview now. Great conversation with former Mississippi State head coach Dan Mullen. Welcoming back to the podcast, Coach Dan Mullen, to talk a little bit about his first year at Mississippi State versus Jeff Lebby's first year here at Mississippi State. And Coach, Coach Lebby does the Nick Saban thing. You get to talk to assistants once a year. We talked to them a couple weeks ago and got to talk to Chad Bumpus, your former player. And we asked him, are the vibes similar to year one at Dan Mullen, year one in Jeff Lebby? And he couldn't have been stronger in his answer that they were, that he felt like the buy-in, the excitement around the program in the building and outside of the building were very similar. So back to your first day at Mississippi State and your first meeting with that team, what's your message to those players when you're walking in the door?
You know what? It was interesting. I go back to the first meeting, and one of the big things I brought up with the players was on their ownership and everything that was going to happen within the program and what we were going to do. And I always asked the question. I said, "Hey, how many of you guys want to win football games?" And you know, everybody, you know, that you put in the work and you think you want to win, and everyone raised their hand. And I said, here comes the problem. I said, you were wishing that you could win, because if you wanted to win, you would have done more. And there wouldn't be a new coach standing in front of you. You had a good coach here before, you know, an experienced veteran guy. But the buy-in couldn't have been all there through everybody. And I'm not throwing the players under the bus, the coaches, the administration. They're just, everybody wasn't aligned, and the buy-in wasn't exactly where it needed to be successful. And I said, we're going to make sure that buy-in is there and everybody is going to want to win. And, you know, guys bought in. We were able to go win. They really put in the time. They really put in the effort. You know, I kind of said there's a big difference between wishing and wanting and the work that you guys have to do, not just with the coaches, with the workout plan, with the game plan, the work you have to do extra above and beyond on your own to be successful. And, you know, we had huge buy-in from everybody, and that's so critical, because the leadership, you know, I was the new guy, you know, everybody else had been around the program. I'm the new guy walking in the door. But when the leadership and the veteran guys on the team buy in right away, it certainly helped, because that trickles throughout everybody on the team. And hopefully for Coach Lebby, the same type of buy-in. It's been a tough couple of years within the program. You know, for you know, with the passing of Coach Leach and everybody feeling everything's going in the right direction, a little bit of uncertainty, and Coach Arnett comes in, who I really am a big fan of, but it was kind of a tough transition time, if you will. You know, he was almost caught in an unwinnable transition, into Coach Lebby coming in with the excitement that there is complete buy-in for how he wants to run the program moving forward.
When you got the job at Mississippi State, the national sentiment kind of was, it's Dan Mullen's time to be a head coach. You had been so successful as a coordinator. You'd won a couple of national titles down there at Florida, and it was your time to get your own program. Do you feel the same way about Jeff Lebby? Has his career built to this point where now it's his time to be a head coach?
And I think absolutely. I think, you know, I mean, I know him. I don't know him great, but I do know him. I think he's put in the time. He's been around a lot of big programs. I think he's been in the SEC, which certainly helps. I think one of the hardest things coming into the Southeastern Conference as a head coach is not having background within the league. And, you know, and not, you have to have background as a head coach, just background and understand what it's all about. And I think you look at the times, the similarity between he and I of taking an offensive-minded assistant coach that's younger, hungry, ready to go, take their shot and show what they can do. I think it is a lot of pressure in college football. a lot of times you get one opportunity. Very few people in college football get a second opportunity coaching. In the NFL, they kind of recycle people over and over and over again. But in college football, you have that one shot. And I knew coming in the door, I said, you know, this is my one opportunity, my one chance to make it as a head coach. And I think Coach Lebby is probably feeling some of the same pressures. But I think one of the great things about Mississippi State is if you believe in the program, you believe in the people, you embrace not just Mississippi State, but the entire state of Mississippi, they'll embrace you right back. I guess not being there on a daily basis now, I certainly hope. I know there's a whole new administration with a new athletic director, new head coach. There's a lot of newness around the program. That embrace is going on in both directions, because I think that is what makes Mississippi State different, is the people and the people that are so special. You know, I mean, the thing that made it great for me were the people, the people in Mississippi and how they embrace me, my family. I know we embrace them back, and the relationships that you have with everybody is what made it so special.
When you came to Mississippi State, I'll never forget the marketing campaign, the spread the fun, because Mississippi State had just been so poor offensively prior to your arrival. And Mississippi State's kind of doing the same thing now with a Showtime at State. And they're trying to sell tickets for entertainment as much as the idea of winning. When you came to Mississippi State, was it important for you to tell fans, hey, look, win or loss, the games are going to be more entertaining going forward?
Well, absolutely. Hey, marketing's a huge part of it. You know, as a head coach, you wear many, many different hats, and marketing certainly is one of the hats that you wear. And I know when we got there, they had been struggling offensively. And I will say this, you know, as the old adage go, defense wins championships, offense sells tickets. Mm-hmm. So, but part of my whole vision within creating the program when I got there, was a team that the fans could be proud of. You know, when we always talk about relentless effort. So you came, watched us play. Hey, you knew we were going to give everything we had. Hey, we're going to be exciting to watch. So, hey, you want to be at the stadium. You know, we started the Don't Stop Believing in the fourth quarter. One, to create this extra energy, excitement, trying to create. I always felt game day for the fan experience, there should be something for everybody inside and outside the stadium. It's like it's a destination. You can't wait for a home Saturday in Starkville, because the team's going to give everything they have for you. Hopefully it's going to be exciting games with offense and points, and that'll be fun to watch. Outside the stadium, we're going to create an environment. We're going to have like a concert going on at the start of the fourth quarter. The Don't Stop Believing obviously was kind of a fun song, obviously a great stadium song, but really kind of a Mississippi State song of the fans. Don't stop believing. We might just pull this off here in the fourth quarter. Stick with us here for all four quarters. And don't stop believing in us as a team and a program and a university. And I think that is a great marketing, because it also gives you the home field advantage. And the one thing the Southeastern Conference is different, when those you walk in, the first thing people say, hey, I don't really want to go have to play in Starkville. I don't want to have to deal with the cowbells. I don't want to have to do with this. So there's already the opponents coming in are already intimidated by the stadium, the excitement, the energy that the fans create. And that's done by creating this atmosphere and really, you know, creating all the hype around the program.
Something I've always wanted to ask you, your first play call at Mississippi State was a double reverse pass. Was that intentional just to show the fans, hey, things are a little different offensively here?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, that was like, you knew we were going to launch the ball deep some way, somehow. I'm like, all right, that it could have gone the other way. I think it was an incompletion.
It was.
But at least there was excitement. You know what? It was an incompletion, but thank goodness we didn't fumble one of the reverses and people like, oh my. What are these idiots doing? I was just happy we got the ball off. And at that point, you know what? My biggest fear my first year at Mississippi State was the spring game. And I don't know if anybody remembers it. I think they had said the year before it was ended in a 0-0 or 3-0 tie, or like a 3-0 game. And I said, okay, So if you remember my first game, we did the circle it up, our one-on-one blocking drills, and we gave points for that to make sure it wasn't going to end 0-0. It was, how do we put points on the board? How do we create that energy and that excitement? And I think that first year, we certainly did the buy-in. And you know what? Even after that, as we started winning in Mississippi State, we found ways to win games as a team. You know, we won a lot of high-scoring games. We won some low-scoring games, too. But I think it was early on that buy-in of the fans that a lot of people tell me, and it was always a tough one for me, the game that changed everything in year one, we lost to LSU. And we had a chance to win the game late in the game on the goal line. We didn't convert. And a lot of fans came and they said that that changed the mindset because we come to the games now believing we could win. We used to come to support the team. Even though we didn't win the game, now we believe that we can win. And I think that really changed the whole attitude, the mindset. And I think, you know, when I first got there, our average attendance, I said, I think the year before we got there was like 32,000. Mm-hmm. And when we left, it was 65,000. We got to expand the stadium. But, you know, that is a lot to everybody in marketing, a lot, and really to the fan buy-in of how they created. You know, you can do everything you want in marketing. You can do everything you want as a coach. It's the fan buy-in that creates the atmosphere. The fans feed off each other. The students feed off each other. They create this energy and excitement that make it a fun atmosphere. You know, if you go to a concert and everyone just sits down, doesn't sing along or applaud and doesn't stand up or do anything, it's probably going to be a pretty boring concert. But if everybody's jumping around, having a great time, being excited in the stands, there's energy that feeds back and forth that makes it special. And that's what the fans at Mississippi State have always done.
Coach, you're really good at this media thing. My next question was literally going to be about that LSU game and the momentum. Because you're right. I felt like leaving the stadium that day, I was like, this program is going in the right direction because this is a game a year ago they had lost 45-0. And now you're losing. now you're right there with a chance to win. Do you think Lebby could get a win, not a win like that, but a momentum boost like that if he goes to Texas or goes to Georgia and comes up just short?
I don't, yeah, and I don't, it's as much on the at home as is important as on. It's the fans coming to the stadium to support the team to believe that. It was, that LSU game was hard. All my high school friends had come to the game, and the thing that was funny is, you know, they were like, we were leaving the stadium, and people were like cheering us as we were driving away, and they're like, I'm like, you guys got to calm down. They were actually angry. They're like, why are we lost? Like, it's not acceptable. You know, we're pretty competitive people. We won a state championship together in high school. Like, I don't know why anybody's cheering. We didn't win the game. And I said, well, because that they didn't even score last year. We almost won. There's energy, excitement about the direction we're headed. And they never, you know, I think everybody in Mississippi knows, you know, those New Hampshire guys would come down once a year and probably terrorize the town of Starkville and have just a fabulous time. Believing, supporting the team, you know, I mean, everybody, all of their kids still wear Mississippi State clothing to this day. And that was their team. And in the Northeast, you don't have college football like that. But it was, I think for Coach Lebby, I think it is, you know, hey, there's going to be some tough games, I'm sure, in year one, and that they have a tough schedule. And the SEC is certainly not an easy place to go play. It's watching the team compete and battle for four quarters is going to be the key. And I think as the fans look and they say, hey, you know what, his brand, his excitement, what he's preaching is being seen on the field. You know, I always thought if, you know, when you watch us, they say, hey, you know, we're going to be a team that plays with a relentless effort. So if people came to the games and they said, but these guys do play really hard. They're tough. They might not be the best team out there, but they're going to play really hard. And they can believe in that, buy into it. I said we'd be a team that has a passion for the game of football. You know, we started, you know, trying to bring back the Dogtown Rock, going to celebrate, make sure we're singing the alma mater, and we have a passion for the game playing and a passion for being Mississippi State Bulldogs. And I thought they really bought into that. So the fans bought into that. And I said, hey, we're going to reach our potential every day. We're always going to try to get better. You watch us from one game to the next, we're going to get better as the season goes on. Well, you know what? The team got better. The fans got better. Everybody bought in. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, a couple of years later, they're really reaping the benefits. Really, the next year, we ended up being a top 15 team. We were reaping the benefit of that quickly on all pages, and everybody buying in, doing the same thing. And I think for Coach Lebby, that's going to be the key, is the message he's preaching, the fans see that on the field, and it makes it easier for them to buy in.
If you could sit down with Jeff Lebby today and talk to him, what's the one piece of advice you'd really want to give him about this job in particular?
Well, I mean, the one is you have to embrace the state of Mississippi. You know, I think that is the biggest thing. We recruited a lot of players from Mississippi, had a lot of success. The people of Mississippi, you know, I mean, I'm a guy from the Northeast, but I came in and both my kids are born. And you know, if you ask my kids where they're from, they'll say they're from Mississippi. I think there's a lot of jobs, and college football has become so national now, and, you know, the transfer portal and kids coming to play from all over the country. And you kind of have a little bit more of this national mindset. I think one thing that's special at Mississippi State is the pride that people have. You know, we don't just represent, I always said to the guys, I said, you look at your jersey and it says Mississippi State on it. I said, you don't just represent Mississippi State. You can flip it. You represent the state of Mississippi. And as long as you embrace that, I think the fans really embrace that and they really appreciate it. And, you know, and they have a lot of pride in the state. They're special people there. I mean, I think as everybody knows to this day, I still love Mississippi, the state of Mississippi, and I still love Mississippi State. So I think that buy-in is so huge for a coach coming in to make sure you understand that about the university.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here on this last question. We talked to you back in the before the Egg Bowl when the job was open, and I'm sure your mentions were as full as mine were people asking, would you be interested in returning to Mississippi State? So we'll ask it this way. Did you, if you had been asked, would you have considered a return to Starkville?
You know, I would, you know, if Dr. Keenum, I know Dr. Keenum really well in the Keenum family, and I think a lot of the people there, if they called me and said, hey, would you be interested in coming back? I certainly would have a conversation, just respect to my love of the school. And, you know, I would have a conversation, whether it would go anywhere or not, I don't know. But it would certainly be a conversation I would always have. And if it wasn't me, I'd always said, hey, I would love to, if I'm not coming back, I would love to do everything I can to help you get the right people place if you need to, because I do care about the school. I'd love to see, I want to see Mississippi State have success, and, you know, and win at a high level. And so I think that care about the school, I would always be willing to have that conversation. And if it was like, hey, you are the absolute best person for this job and the time's right and this is how we make everything the best, then I would have to consider it. And if it was like, hey, we, you know, how do we make it the best? It might not be me. The timing might not be right for someone like me to come back, or I might not be at the right place to come back. But I certainly would always want to help the university every way I can to make it as good as it possibly can be.
Coach, really great interview. Thank you so much for your time. Looking forward to seeing you on ESPN this college football season. Hopefully back in Starkville very soon.
Yeah, you know, I would love, I don't know if I'll get back there to on the football side of things, we don't know, but I love getting back. You know, we try to get back at least once or twice a year with the family, visit our friends in Starkville or go see friends and that we were close to us. Always try to get a couple rounds of golf out over at Old Waverly as well. So we always have a great time and love getting back once or twice a year.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Robbie, he said something in that interview that you don't ever really think about it, but you know, when you're a coach and you have a family, he says, you know, when people ask my kids, where are you from? They say Mississippi. And you think about Dan Mullen, he's not from Mississippi. He's as northern as they get. But his two kids are Mississippians by birth. And so, you know, he still has that connection. Very interesting interview. Of course, the final question I asked him, Robbie, you know, would you have considered a return had it been offered to you? I mean, I got the impression that at State really been interested in Dan Mullen, that we might have seen part two from the head coach.
Oh, no doubt about it. And he did an interview not too long ago. It was during football season, I think, last year. And he straight up said, you know, I think he was asking, where do you consider yourself? Like, when you retire or whatever, what are you going to be most known for? What school are you going to be most known for? And he said Mississippi State. He felt like that would be where people, you know, think the most of. And maybe it's the way he left. You know, he left on good terms, at least from a wins and losses perspective and what he had accomplished. Not many coaches get to do that.
Yeah. I think part of that too, Robbie, is that the time since he's left has been so tough.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers that last game and how it went, how it ended. Everybody just remembers the great times that you had under Dan Mullen.
Yeah. And just how stable it was. And,
yeah. I miss that. I mean, that's what I miss, is stability. Just,
I mean, I think everybody misses complaining about draw plays on third downs and just beating the teams that you're supposed to beat and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because he honestly lost like one or two games against a team that State was far and away better than, should have beaten, and that was South Alabama. I mean, I can't really remember many other games like that. Mm-hmm. If Mississippi State was a heavy, heavy favorite and they were supposed to win the ball game, Dan
Mullen, just played Nick Fitzgerald the whole game, they win easily.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There was just there was that, you know, back and forth with Damian Williams and Nick Fitzgerald, and you know, it was right after Dak had left, and people were kind of they were really hard on Nick Fitzgerald for sure. Yeah, if he would have played that whole game, I think they'd probably win. There was just so much back and forth there. I think there were the inconsistencies kind of played a factor. But Dan was definitely the most consistent coach that Mississippi State has had in a very, very long time. Say what you will about him, say what you will about the recruiting, whatever. I don't know if what he does wins in this era. I don't know. But all I know is that Mississippi State, he did something that pretty much nobody had done since Alan McKean, and that was just consistently get Mississippi State in bowl games, winning, having winning records and all that stuff. And he never got them to Atlanta like Jackie. But he was going to break Jackie's records and wins had he stayed one more season.
Yeah.
And he would have done that several years earlier than Jackie did.
Yeah, no,
so – you have an argument to make that he is Mississippi State's best coach ever.
So let's talk a little bit about year one similarities between Lebby and Mullen. I'm going to give you everything I can think of here, okay?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Coming off of a miserable offensive year, Ole Miss being hyped to the moon.
Yep.
Ole Miss having an early game at South Carolina where things could go haywire for them. A lot of newness on the offensive side of the ball. In Mullen's first year, was a lot of freshmen. In Lebby's first year, it's a lot of transfers. Same kind of on the defensive side of the ball too. You're going to be relying on some unproven guys. I just feel like, you know, the schedule, incredibly difficult Mullen's first year, incredibly difficult this year for Mississippi State. There's a lot there. If the Egg Bowl was in Starkville, You might perk my ears up a little bit to go, well, maybe something weird could happen. You know, I wouldn't go on a national podcast and say that Ole Miss is going to lose the Egg Bowl. What kind of a fool would do something like that, Robbie?
I don't know, but I didn't do that either.
Well, all I read was the headline. It made it sound like you did.
Yeah, they got that clickbait working. I mean, if you even watch what I said on that clip, which they cut out half of that, where I was actually talking about, like, I'm picking Ole Miss to win the game. Basically, all I was saying was I could see it being interesting.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Alas,
you know how that goes. How bad were your mentions yesterday?
I muted it. I mean,
as you should.
I knew pretty quickly where that was probably going to go. I don't know if it got reaction or not.
Cade Smith got in there. You were like, I gotta get out of here. not State's Cade Smith either. No,
right.
So
Hamilton's Cade Smith.
Yeah.
Strangely, he's not a guy from Georgia, Tennessee, or Texas.
Really weird. There are some similarities between the two. And, you know, I had asked Bumpus that question a couple months ago, just in a private conversation, but you brought it out to the public. And yeah, he's pretty adamant that the buy-in that Mullen was talking about in this interview, it's there now, and that the excitement in the building is there now the way it was. It's hard to believe you're saying this, but 15 years ago for Mississippi State. So, you know, will the results be the same? I mean, if State's 5-7, think about State's 5-7. You know, they're only a game better than they were Crooms last year. Crooms last year, they're 4-8. They go 5-7 under Mullen. But it goes back to something we talked about earlier with the qualitative versus quantitative. Just watching that team play, you knew that they're just better coached. They're going to continue to improve. And something Mullen said in the interview, you know, the LSU game, which was a loss, was really the game that kind of sold everybody on what Mullen was doing. Everybody's like, okay, this is a team that has dominated us for the last decade, and we should have won this game. We're going in the right direction. Could Lebby get a similar boost if he just – we've talked about it before, the best-case scenario. If that happens, he goes to Texas and they lose by 10, they lose by 7, I think everybody is thrilled and they're going nuts. They're like, all right, we got the right guy for sure.
Yeah, no, that's kind of, like we said, the best case, like you said. That's kind of what I'm looking for here. I'm not – if you're looking at this from a wins and losses perspective, I think you're approaching it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Because when I say that this team compares to 09, I mean it in almost every fashion. Just like for the things that you mentioned, down to the schedule. Look at the schedule in 09 and look at the schedule now. Mississippi State had quite possibly the toughest schedule in the country in 09. They played a Georgia Tech team that was top 25, a Houston team that was, if not top 25, they were on the verge. I can't remember exactly. They played Bama and Florida, who were number one that year.
Yeah.
Ole Miss was preseason top 10.
Mm-hmm.
The schedule and everything, it's eerie how similar it is. You have a offensive coordinator getting a head coaching job for the first time that's bringing some excitement. I wish there was a little more excitement from the fan base in terms of season ticket sales and stuff, but
I can't fault that though. I thought I had a question about that for Mullen about, you know, you talked about, you know, it's not win and the fans show up, it's fans show up and win. But in 2009, how much did it cost to come to a game?
It's a totally different time period.
It's just so different now. And I mean, and on top of that, fans are being asked to float the cost of the roster on top of that. I understand if you're a wait and see on this. You know, if you know, if you want to see 3-0 before you decide, okay, I'm gonna come to the Florida game, man, I'm not gonna fault anybody for that. I'm not gonna
not at all. I mean, I wish all things were equal and it was like that, and we're expecting 60,000 at the first game. And it was, you know, the largest crowd ever, like it was for Jackson State that year. But it's simply not the case anymore. You can't get people to the stadium like you used to. But everything else kind of lines up a lot like that 09 team. And my hope, and I'm leaning in this direction even before seeing the team play, is that this is another Dan Mullen situation. Yeah. You have a guy that's going to bring stability to this program, that's going to be here for a while, even if his name's floated around there for other jobs and stuff like that. I actually think that Lebby is different than Mullen, though, in regards of, like, I think he's perfectly fine being in small-town USA and kind of blooming where his – feet are planted, so to speak. I think he likes it here. I think his family fits in nicely here. You know, Mullen was – it was always a battle with Mississippi and Mullen. He was, like, perfect in a lot of ways, and in other ways he was such an odd fit for Mississippi State. And you had that feeling, like, of a guy that's constantly trying to get out of here, but at the same time it's like, you know, this is our Yankee kind of thing. I feel a little bit better about Lebby in that regard, that I could see him staying here for a little bit if he has success. And then maybe it's not going to be something like every year where you're talking about Dan Mullen being up for a job.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that all goes.
But here's the thing. I would much rather have that than the alternative.
Yeah. Yeah, no question about that. All right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're firing up the grill this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef. But if you just want to eat a steak, go check out one of the great steakhouses around the state of Mississippi. There's one in every town. And if you're living in a big town, there might be more than one. There's a few here in Starkville that serve great steaks. Go check those out this weekend. And everybody, like I said, if you're going to cook it yourself, even better. Even better. Nobody knows how to make the steak you like better than you do. I promise you that. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. Beefing up the Bulldogs this Saturday. The Mississippi Beef Council will be at Davis-Wade Stadium to provide for the Mississippi State football team. And maybe for a select member of the media or two.
I like steak.
You're not going to be there, though, right?
No, I'm going to be at a draft party. But, I mean, I'll be having a good time, too.
I guess. Ah, man, too bad. Two brothers.
Someone deliver me one from Starkville to Louisville, I'll take it.
You better kiss me on the mouth when I get there with that. That's all I'm saying.
If I see you walking up with a ribeye steak in your hand to hand me, I might actually do it.
Yeah, all right. I'd be like an officer and a gentleman in there. I'll just carry you out of there.
Love lift us up where
we belong. Yeah, at a friend's wedding with another friend of ours, mom, and I did Joe Cock. I did the impression.
Yes.
Don't leave us up where we belong.
The Belushi.
I did the whole shaking and everything. Yeah, it was great.
I can't believe Belushi got away with that.
It's the way I feel.
In 2024, Belushi would have been canceled fast.
I do wish that Joe Crocker had signed with Mississippi State last year.
Oh, yeah.
It is what it is. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And you are looking for. Robbie and I haven't made the trip to Two Brothers in quite a while, which means we're overdue. So you'll be seeing us there very, very soon. Certainly before the start of the football season, Robbie and I will make an appearance at Two Brothers, and we'll also have to make one at the Older Brother to grab ourselves a delicious, fancy sandwich. That's right. If you want a sandwich that's just a little bit better than the average sandwich, you can find it at the Older Brother. Starville's, maybe it's probably the best new restaurant in town, and it is going to be packed. Guys, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to want it to go to the Older Brother this football season. I'm just telling you that now. DoorDash might be your friend on the Older Brother. It's just going to be that way. That place is going to be super popular. So, whichever one you choose in the heart of the Cotton District, Two Brothers Smoked Meats or the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it now for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers, 49 years of taking care of you. When you need technology for your business, give them a call. And then if you need service, you turn around, you call the same number. You don't have to call a 1-800 number. You're not going to be on hold for 45 minutes. It's not going to be an appointment you have to make with an out-of-state guy who'll be there in a week to 10 days. Mississippi people taking care of you, and a lot of times it's going to be the exact same day. Give them a call today, 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you have the games this fall, make sure you're making a stop at Maroon & Co. Maroon & Co. here in Starkville is the place to grab the Mississippi State merchandise that you are looking for. It's the best place in Starkville to find it. They've got a selection like no other. They've got all the logos that you want. They are the official and exclusive provider for the Bulldog Initiative. So if you want to wear the same polos and pullovers that the coaches are wearing, you can only get those at Maroon & Co. Everything you need for the car, for the house, for your tailgate, it's all right there at Maroon & Co. Before you're at Davis Way this fall, you need to be at Maroon & Co. Do they sell 1980-style practice jerseys there?
They do not.
Good.
They do not sell the starter jerseys. The real stuff.
So let's talk about this. Because you and I, we get a lot of grief about – we talk about uniforms and stuff a lot, right? And people are like, why do you – like, well, you know, because we think it's important. And we think a lot of fans think it's important. And so yesterday, something called that I've never heard of, by the way, the Mississippi State NIL store. Had never heard of this organization prior to yesterday. They tweet out something about, you guys excited about 98 gear? Well, we got something dropping tomorrow.
Which, by the way, did you watch that video?
Yeah, it wasn't really 98 gear.
No. They ripped off the. You remember the Chris Jericho thing that Derek Cody and Drew did?
Remember it vividly.
So they ripped off the first part of that and the sound and everything and some parts of that video. Then they meshed in, I think, some of Mississippi State's video from last year with the 1998 team.
Right.
So they totally like ripped off Mississippi State's videos and to make that, which should have been kind of a red flag to begin with. And then the actual jerseys came out today.
And, you know, Robbie, I don't like to be overly negative, as you know that about me.
What?
I don't. I like to try to find the good in everything. And so I'm going to be very generous and very upfront about these jerseys when I tell you that they are absolute bleeping garbage. And if I see, you know, I make jokes on this podcast. If I see you in a Banner M thing, I'm going to say something. I'm not. But if I see you in this, I am going to say something. I'm going to point and laugh at you. What are these things, Robbie? They're awful.
So it's got that mesh, like jersey look to it from like the jerseys that you would get, like almost like the tearaway jerseys. And in no way is this a 1998 jersey. There's almost nothing about it that is comparable to the 1998 uniform.
And, correct me if I'm wrong, the first one available is the number one, and it's listed as for Xavion Thomas.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a Jaden Crumedy in there. I don't think these guys have a clue. I think they just, like, created these things. And I'm looking, they have an entire throwback jersey collection, which it's not throwback jerseys in the sense of they're taking jerseys that the teams wore back in the day, at least from what I can tell here. It's just like an older-looking jersey on all these.
Mm-hmm.
They have Missouri, Iowa State, Iowa, LSU. And it's just like, no, this isn't 1998. I'm trying to think what
doesn't this organization
era have, this is. Is this the 80s?
They have some affiliation with Mississippi State to do this, right?
They do not. You can sign a licensing agreement with a university and sell merchandise. This is a company that is the actual merchandise, I think, is made through something called Campus Inc., it says, which is a company created by Mark Cuban. But basically, this is like a company that it's signed agreements with a bunch of different schools. They're using those schools to create merchandise like this.
This is where
I think the kids can make some money off of it, which is probably like, you know, 5-10% if that.
This is where you need somebody who's like a VP of common sense to look at this going, hey, we don't want any connect. These products are crap. We don't want to have our name associated with it. We're out.
Well, and they're taking other people's pictures and posing it like it's theirs. Like they took a picture that the photographer that I use, our friend Jared Thomas, he took a picture of Chad Bumpus the other day, and they tweet out the picture so they can try to sell the sweatshirt that Chad's wearing, which is a god-awful sweatshirt. It's got that that bulldog head on it that was like during the Mullen era, and like some like super plain like letters that says Bulldogs, and it's like Creed Whittemore on the back, and it's just it's a terrible looking sweatshirt. But they took our photo, didn't give any credit to Jared Thomas for it, tweeted out like it was theirs, and then they just copied all of Mississippi State's pictures from camp and put them out. That I don't know these people, but it definitely looks like it's very scammy. If I would not do business with these people. Do business with like, Charlie Winfield.
Who is that NIL group that came along and like got all the players to tweet about it, and then you found out that like they took 15% of your donation right off the top.
Oh yeah. Same kind of stuff. I remember that, like, every player tweeted the same thing.
Yeah. And like,
I don't know if they made any money off of that, like a thousand bucks total
or something like that. It's just ridiculous. So
yeah, do business with local shops in Starkville, specifically Maroon and Company. Get your gear from College Corner if you have to too. But I mean, I just don't understand these other little things that are popping up.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Don't buy them.
All right. Tomorrow's show, I don't know. We'll see. Probably some football talk. We'll go through some things. It'll be great. All right, guys. Have a great Thursday. Back with you on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Mississippi Media Production.